Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. 149 districts, 676 schools, more than 9,000 teachers, and more than 130,000 students. South Dakota's first report card under the Every Student Succeeds Act breaks down the data to see how students are learning and getting ready for what's after graduation. Mary Stodick-Smith is Interim Secretary of Education for South Dakota. She joins us now for a look at what the new report can tell you about your child's school and what it tells us all about the state of education in South Dakota. Mary Stodick-Smith joins us on the phone from Peer. Welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you. Good morning, Lori.
Let's put this report into perspective for people first. How has Every Student Succeeds Act really changed the conversation about what we're looking for and what we are tracking?
Sure. So I think we've always put out a report card that looks at school performance, but under the Every Student Succeeds Act, I think part of the conversation was, or part of the goal was when they passed that law, was to make sure that our report cards are parent-friendly and that they provide perhaps a more well-rounded picture of the education system. And certainly that was a goal for us here at the state level when we were putting together our ESSA state plan. You know, we always report our test scores, but truly that's just one piece of the larger picture. So one of the things that we wanted to do was to provide a more well-rounded picture of how our schools are performing.
So is the state plan that has to be approved then by at a federal level? How does that exactly work? What happens to the state plan?
Right, correct. Under the Every Student Succeeds Act, every state is required to put together their state plan that talks about how they will be holding schools accountable, how they will produce their report card. And so, yes, our plan was approved. Oh, it's been quite a while now, probably over a year. But this is the first time we published a report card under the new requirements.
All right, let's talk about some of those new data items that round out the picture beyond test scores. Where would you like to begin with those new items?
Sure. So some of the new items would include one of the big ones that's a federal requirement is to report out on progress of our English language learners. And as you know, here in South Dakota, we've been seeing growing numbers of students who don't speak English as their native language. So that was one of the new data items that's part of the report card. And if you, you know, as you start to look, you know, you can look at the state level, the district level, the school level. But at the state level, our English language learners are 33% of them are on track in terms of their language acquisition skills. A couple of other areas that I think are fairly interesting in their new reporting items. So we're now reporting the students, the percent of students going on to post-secondary, so going on to some sort of continued education after high school, whether that's a two-year institution like one of our technical institutes or a four-year institution. So that will now become an item that we'll be looking at and reporting on every year. We've expanded what we call our college and career readiness indicator. There's new data related to school safety that comes from the U.S. Office of Civil Rights. So there's a lot of new data that's in that report card.
So are you at the Department of Education in South Dakota looking at that data and learning things along with the rest of us that you didn't know, or was this data sort of available in other places and this is kind of putting it in one spot that's particularly accessible to parents, for example?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you're going to see on the report card the traditional items that you've always seen and the traditional items that we look at. So, you know, test scores, how are our students doing in English, language, arts, and math? And then, are our students progressing? Things related to graduation, you know, our graduation rates and our attendance rates. So a lot of the things are things that we've been looking at the state level, but it is putting them together in a new way, and perhaps a more comprehensive way, and a way that's easier for, you know, parents and members of the public to access the data.
All right. So before we get any further, let's tell folks where they can find that, because you can click, once you get to the state report card, find your school and type in your student's school and look at how everything breaks down. So where do they start accessing the information online?
Sure. The easiest is to go to the South Dakota Department of Education's website, and that is doe.sd.gov, and then you'll see the report card link or banner. Click on that, and then you can start to search. And like you said, you can search for a particular school in your school district. You can search at the district level, and then you can also view the state report card.
When we talk about, you know, markers such as, you know, the 33% that you mentioned on track of English language learners as we track their progress, how do you take a number like that and put it into perspective? You know, with test scores, one of the advantages is you can see, you know, they're incrementally, you know, they're a couple percentage points higher than they were last year, for example.
Right.
Or if you see things go down, you can say, well, we're going in the wrong direction. And that's an easy way to evaluate things. But when you see something like 33% of English language learners are on track, how do you look at a number like that and figure out what does it really mean?
Sure. That's a good question. And I think, so again, this is our first year of reporting that, and I think it will become a better indicator when we've been able to accumulate some data and we can make those comparisons that you were talking about, like we can with our math and our English language arts. You know, are we moving in the right direction? That's often what we need to look at, you know, to give you some context, because it is hard to say, okay, is 33%, is that a good number?
Right.
Well, certainly we'd like to see it be higher than that. But without, you know, several years of data, it's tough to say, okay, what does this mean?
Right.
But I do think, you know, I think it's important that, you know, we recognize that this is a growing population here in our state. And so how do we make sure that those students are getting what they need? And so I think just that it's part of the report card and it's on the radar, so to speak, that's a really good starting point.
Right. Are there areas that you as interim secretary have looked at or your team has looked at and said, we can use this to sort of see that a certain program is working? So I looked at the attendance numbers and sort of the chronic absenteeism numbers. And again, without a whole lot of context, I thought those don't look so bad. It looks like some of the work that's been being done that I see as a parent, in the constant communication about getting your kid to school, for example, it seems like that's having an impact. I look at those English language learner numbers and I think, oh, I think that there needs to be work. I mean, those are just my initial, as a parent, reaction. But from your perspective, can you make connections between, you know, we've got this program and look at this number, we're happy with it, we think it's in the moving in the right direction, now it's really time to look at maybe we're missing something and in initiatives toward another area?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's where in education there are so many variables that can be impacting the numbers,
sure.
Whatever the number is, whether it's graduation rate or attendance rate, there are a lot of variables, and to pinpoint, okay, this is the thing that is influencing this particular number, it's pretty difficult to isolate it. But I do think we get some general ideas of, okay, you know, if we see in our English language arts area that scores are, you know, going down in this particular area of English language arts, are there some things that we can do at the state level in terms of maybe providing professional development to teachers across the state that would address some of the things that we might see happening? And I would agree with you on the attendance piece. I do think, you know, that those numbers are good, and I do believe that the efforts that we've done some things here at the state level, but also local school districts have been, you know, very, I would say, you know, they've been out there touting that attendance is important because kids aren't in school. We can't teach them. So I do think that some of those things are working. And yes, we do want to use our data to drive our decisions, but it can be difficult because of all the variables involved.
And I would definitely agree that as long as you have some basic internet skills, this is a pretty easy way to find the report card for your own school. It's pretty easy to click through and look at. For parents who want to see what they're, how are they using this information? Is it a starter for choosing a school for open enrollment? Is it a starter conversation with your school administrator or teachers about something? How do you think, you know, it's transparent and that's a positive. How do you recommend parents sort of leverage the information that they have to either ask further questions or, you know, contribute somehow to helping their school grow?
Sure. So I know I, as a parent, have always, you know, in my head, I'm like, what can I do as a parent to support my local school district? How can I get involved in a meaningful way? I mean, I think that's what it comes down to as a parent, right? You want to support your child, you want to support your school, and you want to do it in a meaningful way. And so, you know, I think a lot of that, again, goes back to it's got to happen at the local level with the local school district leadership. Certainly if a parent is looking at all, you know, the information that's out on the website and they have questions or concerns, they should be talking to maybe it's the principal, maybe it's the superintendent, a school board member, maybe it's the, you know, if they have a PTA. But I think it starts to spark conversation, if nothing else. And I do know that the report card, I think one of the things that, you know, we've seen in the past is families that are moving to South Dakota will frequently get calls about, well, how, you know, how is this school district or how is this school? And that's something that the report card I know is used for people moving into the state or moving to a different part of the state. Although, when you get out to Pierre and other areas, you know, if you're a family moving to a small town out in western South Dakota, there aren't a lot of options, right? You know what, probably which school you'll be going to. But again, then you've got the ability to check out this data, have some conversations with your local school administrators or school board members.
I was looking at the school safety data for my daughter's school and kind of trying to figure out what was included and what that tells me. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, it had in-school suspensions and out-of-school suspensions, number of arrests, which was zero. And but it didn't have anything that I saw on first blush about, you know, incidents of, well, it did have, what all was tracked in that? It didn't say if there was a, you know, a call where a threat on the school, for example, or a, you know, a gun was brought to school. It didn't break down to that level. Talk about the school safety data compilation.
Yep. So the school safety indicator is new, and I would say to look at it carefully or with a grain of salt, perhaps, and here's why. Because that data, you know, we are required to report some of that school safety data. But what happens is school districts report that directly to the U.S. Department of Education, their Office of Civil Rights. It doesn't come through the state. It goes from districts to the feds, and then they in turn give us a huge file that we then incorporate into our report card. And I think there is probably some confusion, inconsistency when districts are reporting their data to the federal government. You know, I'm sure the federal government has definitions. Now, whether the districts fully understand those definitions, you know, and what it might mean in one district as to another district that's interpreting it a different way. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a challenge, and that is one of the indicators that I think we need to think about at the state level. How can we make sure that this indicator is providing good, clean data and that it's hitting on the most important things, you know, that parents are interested in? So I think that's one we're going to need to look at in the future.
Are there key takeaways for your department that help feed into legislative priorities for the upcoming session? Do you use this information to sort of help make that plan?
Sure. We use our report card data and any of the other data. We try to make data-driven decisions. So like you had mentioned earlier, you know, if we're considering a program to target literacy in the early grades, K through 3, we are going to use the data that we have at our fingertips in order to try to put together those plans. If we feel like we need to make a request for an appropriation or something along those lines, we're definitely going to want to be able to support that with, here's the data that shows why we need this. So it really, it factors into our decision-making daily, whether that's legislative or, you know, the professional development opportunities we might be providing for teachers, you know, mentoring for teachers, whatever it might be, we do try to always be looking at our data.
All right, so let's throw all the data out and close with a thought about kids, because it's really about, you know, the individual kid that's packing the backpack and trying to figure out what's for lunch and how to pass that test and what's after graduation. How do you, in your role, step away from all the numbers and the big picture and just realize that it's all about one kid going to school with one teacher and having one day at a time?
Yeah, well, you said that so eloquently. I mean, that, you're right. We can talk about the numbers. We can talk about the numbers in the aggregate and what they mean, but it does. And I'm a parent, and it comes down to each and every individual child and what can we as an education system, whether at the state level or at the local level, what can we do to help our kids get the best outcomes possible? And I think, you know, the more we talk about it, and I really, you know, I think about how can we better help our kids think about those next steps, especially as they start entering middle school and then in high school, help them think about what is the next step for me after high school and what should I be doing now in order to prepare me for that. And I know that's hard because I have a 16-year-old daughter and she doesn't want to talk about that. But I really think that's what we need to do.